Amen. Choir some good voice this morning, and hope everyone else is. We are so glad to see you this morning. As always, we are so glad that you took time out of your busy schedule to come and honor the one who blesses you so well. Isn't God good? He has been good to you this week, I'm quite sure, just by looking out here. I see from just looking at you that God has been good to you. We praise him for that. Welcome to each and every one. May the Lord bless you as we worship together. As we begin our service this morning, we'll share from Psalms 113. It reads like this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed the name of the Lord for this time forth and forevermore. From the raising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. And he may set him with princesses, even with the prince of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be joyful mother of the children. Praise ye the Lord. Let's do that.
For hymn of worship this morning, use number 428, sing the first and third verse, and Vinny will have a prayer. This is all said.
Walking in sunlight, follow my journey over the mountain, through the deep wind. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
Go to God in prayer. Dear God, how good it is to come together as a church family and just praise you for your goodness. God, you have been so good to us. This week is no exception. You have always been good to us, and we appreciate that so very much. We thank you for being good to the church family, Heavenly Father, and bless them in such wonderful good ways. So this morning as we come back, we want to say thank you, dear God. We want to honor you, and we want to praise Jesus, the one Heavenly Father has made all these things possible, that he has brought us together, that he has made it possible for us to have the relationship with you and given us hope of eternal life. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that, and we praise you, and we ask, Heavenly Father, you'll take this service this morning as a way to thank you and to praise you and honor the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Now, for communion hymn, we'll use number 183. Sing the first and last verse.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness array, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he made the needs of my heart. Shadows dispel, and with joy I am dead. He made all the darkness depart. Heaven my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now I have a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and presents eternal in His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
We'll gather around the Lord's table this morning and read Matthew chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege you granted us to gather in your house today. Come around our table. We thank thee now for the loaf and the cup that represents the broken and bruised body of the one who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. Be with us now, be with each individual, and take the elements. Forgive us where we fail thee. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, again, we're just so thankful for this beautiful and glorious Lord today you provided for us. Thankful for those that have taken extra time to be in your house of worship this morning. Father, we pray a blessing upon those that have to travel the distance they do. And just thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. And as we come back to return just a small portion of what you so blessed us. Richly blessed us with. We pray, Father, that we'll take these tithes and offerings and multiply them and spread them around the community and around this world. Again, Father, we thank you for everything you do for us each and every day, and forgive us where we do fail you. For these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Once again, it's good to see you folks and to be with you on the Lord's Day and to be in the house to worship together. Church family, it's great for us to come together. I want to thank those folks and that made a Friday night a great night. We had a wonderful meal together and good fellowship, and we thank you for being a part of that. It's just great. Let me ask a couple questions, I guess, to some of the folks here that I didn't get to talk to here. Tina, for you, for one. Morgie, what's happened this week? Doing okay or go?
She's doing okay.
Okay. Maxine told me she happened to see a lot of cars at her mother's house and didn't know whether something had taken place or not. But she's still doing okay as far as you know.
Her mom
okay. Doodle's here, so I'll mention this while I think about it. Back on the back table, those lookouts are piling up. Now, you folks that have been taking them and reading them and so forth, we wanted to get them for you. But now, I'm going to say, you people that did get them and don't want them, tell Doodle, if you will, because there's a little bit of expense there. And they're just stacked up, and it's kind of a waste of expense if you don't use them. And so we're glad to get them and glad for you to have them. But if you're not going to use them, let Doodle know it so he can readjust his thing, I guess.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to go ahead and cancel it unless someone tells me that they want it.
Okay, that's...
That costs us about $83 to get those things.
Yeah.
And we don't need to waste our money on those people's not going to use them. So I'm going to
answer them unless someone tells me they're specific.
Okay. Good idea. Make sure that you let them know that you want them, and we'll be glad to, be certainly glad to get them. And otherwise, and we're not saying we don't want to get them because of the expense. If there's twice that much, we'd get them if you want them. But do make it. I mean, they've been piling up, and thank you for that. Okay. And I meant to ask you about Richard Barkley. You, anybody get the latest information on him?
Richard is, the best what I've heard, he's still in critical condition. He's still in the hospital. And that's actually all I know about.
Okay. And most of you know who he is. He's elder over to the church there. And so keep them in prayer. And let me say on the thank you side, before I get into the others, I'll get them all mixed up here. On the thank you side, we have some good reports. Omer's just done well with his arm, got his operation, is healing up and so forth. And he says the doctor's turning him loose from that now. And several others of us, and that he's just been good to us, hasn't he? And yet we have much. And Donna, she's not got her name on there, but we want to put Donna on our prayers. She's working with her feet and so forth, and the difficulty she's having. And we just pray, Donna. Donna, you're in our daily prayers. We want everybody to have you in our daily prayers, that things will work out good for you. And continue to pray for Omer and Doodle and Virgil. And they've had some things and their issues there, but they're doing good, and we just praise the Lord for that. And they're in the leadership here of the church. We want them to be well. We want them to be strong. We want them to be healthy and be able to carry out the duties that they're doing. It's just wonderful that how God's working with them. Okay, and then as we get down our prayer list, we have Betty Johnson. That is, in case you don't know, that's Scott Johnson, the preacher over to Oakland. His mother has been mentioned here, was in the hospital. She is now out of the hospital and doing well. So that's good. And then also last week we mentioned, a couple weeks ago we mentioned that Vernon's sister Juanita is going to have an operation the 14th. And so we want to continue to pray for her. Herschel Harrison doing okay. Things working out for him. And we told you about him having a stroke, and they got to him with the medicine and so forth and kind of knocked that thing out. So we praise the Lord for things like that. It's really good. And who else is on our prayer list that we want to point out there? My brother Graham, he's home and doing well. He's got to take a light treatment of radiation just to make sure that nothing else will appear there. And we just hope that'll work out good. But he's home doing well and feeling pretty good, he said. Who else here? But everyone else on our prayer list that I haven't mentioned, I mean, we're just as concerned about them being well as we are the ones we mentioned. But we mentioned and tell you about them. And also, Donna has put back there on the back table, and I put them up on the little box back there, the new prayer cards. And if you will, please fill those out for us and give them to me, and then I can pass them on to Donna, and she can get them on her, and so forth. And if you will, if you can, those that you put on there, if you'll take time to get the address, we'll be glad to drop them a little note and let them know that the people here are concerned and pray for them. We get good results from that, and people appreciate that, don't they, Virginia? Virginia knows, and we've had people to call us and tell us, and after they've asked to be on our prayer list and so forth. Yes, dear.
Kenny Dyer is on here, my nephew-in-law. He's fine. He's doing all right. Well, he'll never be well, but he's not in the doctor anymore.
Yeah, but he's on a level that's going to be able to go on and take care and handle that and so forth. Okay, that's good. All right. And then pray for one another and so forth. Pray for each other. We mentioned the other night, not only at our Friday night, Richard Barkley, we mentioned a young lady. Should I say name?
Go ahead.
Okay, it's
Brittany.
Terman. That you folks probably got acquainted with some time back. She's had a lot of difficulty, and she's had mental issues. And this week she's got in trouble and so forth, and now the thought was that the legal system would get her to somewhere for some help, but evidently they turned her loose, the policeman did, out of jail, and she was supposed to go to her grandmother's, and she hasn't got there. Oh, okay.
Today.
She showed up to her grandma's grandma kicked her out. Yeah. So nobody knows where she's at and what she's doing. So just kind of pray for that. A lot of things, a lot of issues with people's lives. All right. Let's come to our prayer time.
Now, for prayer hymns, we'll be using number 228, first and last verse. And Doodlebug will have her prayer. This whole thing.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. It never was a sweeter melody. Tis a melody.
Invitation hymn be number 378, and this time the choir will bring a special.
Us that one day we'll know unending joy and peace. We'll love singing songs about heaven to remind ourselves and others that this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. We'll sing when we all get to heaven what a day of rejoicing that will be. And we are confident of the glorious moment that awaits us. God's singers proclaim these songs together, and we sing them alone at midnight. Through times of victory, and especially through our tears, we cling to in the sweet by and by, and we declare, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But one day all those songs about that glorious someday will be set aside. Finally, when the last of God's singers bows at his feet, then one day we'll begin a new song. Praise that we'll sing together forever.
Kathleen and choir, very pretty. Thank you very much for your efforts that you put forth for us and that you bless us with each Lord's Day. Thank you. I know I always forget somebody. Ron, I forgot you. Are you you're going to have an operation. Is that scheduled?
September
18th. September. Okay. We keep that in our prayers as you build up for that. We know that things will go well for you. We do, but we'll be praying for you, okay? Talking about heaven. Can you read that, Richard? Doodle said he could read it. I wish I was an artist so I could paint larger sign. We're talking about heaven. This will be the last day we'll be talking about heaven. Well, per se. I hope we'll be talking about heaven every weekend, every day. We'll talk about heaven. That's where we're going. That's home, isn't it? Kathleen, that's what we're singing about home. We're going home. I took this from chapter 4, the verse 12 of this chapter for this message. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto among men whereby we must be saved. Now, the reason I did, because you've probably been hearing on the news, and I've even heard them speaking about this on the news, not the news people per se, but people that, you know, this is no longer politically correct to say this, because, let me turn these things down. I had to turn them up because my speaker, but now I'm really getting a lot of feedback here. Thank you. This verse is spoken by the Apostle Peter is no longer politically correct, because today is, what is the popular saying today? Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. all has a separate path to go to heaven. We know that's not so. This verse very truly says that. There are a few people that think they're going to get into heaven without Jesus. We've heard that. We've heard some people very boldly make statements that they can get to heaven by bypassing Jesus. It's people like that who want the glory, but they don't want the cross. They're not caring about the cross nor Jesus. They just want to bypass that. They have the false idea of getting to heaven. They can bypass the cross and bypass Jesus. And we here at Porter Church believe and know that there is no other way. That verse is very true that we just read. There's no other way. Only by Jesus, by coming by the cross, will we get home. And so they reject the one who died for them and gave people the opportunity to enter into the joy of heaven. That's something that they would reject, the very one who has went to such extreme, I guess you would say extreme, difficulties that he faced for just for sinners like us. I've read where people say that, you know, that God was narrow-minded, that just to provide only one way to heaven. But I think that God was really broad-minded when he thought about sending his son, his only son, to die on Calvary's cross for sinners like you and me. I think that's pretty broad thinking of our great God. We should suffer judgment in hell. As good as we are, as good as you have been, and whatever, we still deserve hell. Yet I think God was right broad-minded when he took in the whole concept of people that's on earth and made possible for them to have the opportunity to receive Jesus and have a way to go to heaven. There are people who say preachers are very narrow-minded because they think God would send anybody to hell. As you know, and if you listen to many preachers or if you hear people or read about what's going on, there's preachers this morning, they'll stand in the pulpit and they never will mention the hell. That's a word they've marked off. But listen, friends, we need to be concerned about hell because Jesus says many people are going there. But he has made, as we said last week, God has went out of his way to make a way for us to escape that place and come to his heavenly home. They need to hear what John says in John 1, 11 and 12. You know, it says, talks about Jesus, said he come to his own rejected him. He come to his own and his own received him not. They rejected him. But as many as received him, gave he to them the power to become the sons of God, become children of God. Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus says, enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. What's he saying? Some are not going to go, as the rest of that verse says, and many there which will go therein. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads into life, and few will find it. Those verses, and Jesus himself is saying, some are going to be lost. Some shouldn't be lost. None should be lost. All can be saved. But Jesus said, because of the rejection, because of the hardened hearts of people, some will be lost and they will be turned into eternal hell. That's a terrible thought. And I can understand. People don't want to hear that. Some people don't want to hear that. But they need to hear that. Getting to heaven is more than wanting to go there. If a stranger stopped you on the street and asked you how to get to heaven, what would you tell them? This little boy was, well, this preacher was in a strange town. He was there for a meeting, and he was wanted to go. He had a little time, and he wanted to go to the library. And so he's walking down the street, and he really didn't know where it was. So here's a young lad come along, and then the preacher said to him, said, lad, he said, can you tell me how to get to the library? And he said, yes, sir. He said, you just go down one block and turn right, and you'll see it on the left. And he said, well, thank you. And as he began to turn away, the preacher said, "Say, young man," he said, "if you're not busy tonight, if you'll come down to the Church of Christ there on A Street about 7 o'clock, he said, "I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The little boy said, "You don't even know the way to the library. How can you tell me about going to heaven? What would you say if you were stopped on the street and asked how to get to heaven? What would you say? What would you tell them?" Some would say, you know, just going to heaven and just be good. Just be good. For some, being good just means not being bad, you know. You hear little jokes of boys about boys at Christmas time, you know, and they say, "I've not been so bad," you know. And people think if they haven't been just so bad, just a little bad, they're still going to get to heaven. But being good means you haven't murdered someone, and you don't steal, they say, and you don't curse too much, and you don't lie too often, and you're not a drug addict, and you don't cheat, and you rarely gamble. Your conscience is clear most of the time, because you are not nearly as bad as the people that you have heard about, read about on the newspaper, or seen on television, that you're not as bad as them. And you're just not as bad as everyone else, you know. And because you haven't been bad, you feel like that you've been good enough that God's going to let you into his heaven. People think that. People believe that. There are people that believe that doing good deeds will go into heaven. That is, as you know, you give money to beggars, and they give food to the homeless, standing on the corner. They generously donate money and time and talents to the nonprofit or charitable places and organization. They're better than most people they know of, and so they figure because they have done those good deeds that surely God would let them go to his good heaven. And then there's people that think that they have religious rituals, and they go through the religious rituals, and they believe that as long as they do their religious rituals, God will surely let them in to his good heaven. Right? The scriptures teach us that there will be a multitude of people in heaven. There'll be people from every country, every language, every race, every tribe. There will be people who have eternal life that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, have received him as Savior. That's the way the people of other beliefs, other countries, other races will get into heaven. There are others who believe that they'll get there just because they're not really all that bad. They've been good. Scriptures teach us different from that. One of the most common misconception about Christians and unbelievers is that you can get to heaven just by being a good person. And you hear that. You hear that so often. I've told a story about going to people, and they claim about being good people. They talk about grandpa being a good person. They talk about their father being a good person. They talk about their mother being a good person. They did this and they did that and they did that. And they figure as long as they're kind of like grandpa or kind of like mom, they could be good to people around them, so they'll get to heaven. That is a very strong feeling that a lot of people has. The irony of that misbelief is that completely ignores the necessity of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his cross for the sins of the world. What's more, it shows a fundamental lack of understanding of what God considers good. What you consider to be good may not be what God considers to be good. And really, if you think about how God thinks about how bad you are, then you realize how good God is when he sent his son to cover our sins. What does it mean to believe in him? You know, the Bible talks about, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Savior. You know, there's a lot of difference in just believing who Jesus is and believing in him. You know, you could believe who George Washington was. He was the first president of our first president. But there's a difference in believing who he was and to know him personally. Nobody here has known George Washington personally. So there's a great difference in believing who Jesus is and believing in him. The scriptures teaches us. A person may believe in many things about Jesus and still not have a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. A person may believe that Jesus died at Calvary for his sins, his or her sins, and yet has not accepted Jesus, therefore having no hope for heaven, God's eternal home. Unless a person has that saving relationship with God that comes through Christ Jesus, there is no hope of heaven. I want to share some thoughts with you from some of these things that I picked out in the last week and so. I'm not going to deal with local mainstream faiths. Some of these faiths you probably not heard of. There is so many beliefs, and we'll consider a few of them here for a few moments. There appears to be about five major characters regarding how to get to heaven in the world's religion. Most believe that hard work and wisdom will lead ultimately to fulfillment, whether that is in unity with God. And so here's atheism. We know atheism. That is a great belief. There is many atheists. In matter of fact, I understand that atheism is growing a little. That is a belief that we're just here and there is no God. And when we die, that's just it. Man, there has to be more than what, there has to be more than that. So that's the belief of an atheist. And then there is the universalism. And that's the Unitarians mostly believe that, but there's a lot of universalisms. And they are allowed to and encourage believers. Anything they lack about the afterlife and how to get there. Although in general they believe that people should seek enlightenment here. There's other religions that has, and I think they're a little bit in that also. There are groups that believe, you know, that you don't have to have a relationship with God. You don't have to have anything to do with Jesus because when you die, you are reincarnated. Now, I find a number of beliefs that you're reincarnated, that you come back as someone or something. If I really believed in reincarnation, I'd say that Judy Carter would come back as a cat. And some people claim that they come back as a dog, as a cat. And that sounds real stupid, doesn't it? But I mean, there is people that believe that at one time they might have been a dog or a cat or an animal, and now they have come back and they are a person. And some people believe that they're now a person and they'll come back as an animal. That's factual. I mean, people believe that. Reincarnation into somebody else or somebody or something. They believe that. There is a belief of Baha'i. I don't know if any of you have heard of that one or not. Some call it Baha'i and some just Baha'i. And that is a tremendous group of people that believe. They believe that they will be reincarnated. Their movement combines the idea of multiplied religions, including Christianity and Islam, and present that a person's soul continues its spiritual journey after this life and eventually comes to a final resting point with the God of Baha'i, which could be about anybody. And there's a big movement in that. There's a movement right here in the United States of Baha'i. And what they believe, and this guy that wrote a bunch of books and so forth, I can't think of his name now. Not Osteen, but another fellow. But anyhow, he's got a lot of that in his writings. Some of you probably don't know that, and some of you have some of his writings. I know that because I've been in your house and seen his book. And unless you know what the Bahaya is, you wouldn't know that that is a part of it. And what they believe is almost like, you know, that they're this one world, one world thing. And there's a lot of people, a lot of preachers in that. And they think, you know, that everybody's just going to come together and everything's going to be all right. And everybody will just be Jim Dandy. Tremendous way. Buddhism teaches, you know, reincarnation. And a person returns in addition to repeat life forms until acting a state of called nirvana. When you get to nirvana, then you will be in a blissful state of ultimate being. Hinduism teaches to accept, and they accept reincarnation, and they also believe in a place, you know, you come to a point that you will be so religious that you will then go to another higher plane. Islamic speaks of paradise where faithful Muslims will live with Allah. And they promise, and you remember that the 9/11, those pilots were promised special places in Allah, or how you pronounce that, Allah's kingdom because of what they did. And so they practice that you can go to this place, which they call paradise, and that you can do that by doing good deeds. And then also, though, you have to follow their five pillars of Islam that they have. Jehovah Witness. Now, if you take the Watchtower away from Jehovah Witness, they'd become Christians. You know, they really would. But their real thing is Watchtower. And, of course, you know that they do not believe that Jesus was divine. And so if you don't believe that Jesus is divine, you have no way to heaven. And it's a true thought. If you take that Watchtower away, they would, because they would read their Bible. They read their Bible, but the Watchtower tells them how to do it. And the Watchtower explains to them, much like they conjure up false things about the Scripture and so forth. So their way isn't the way. And they also believe, you know, that good people are going to be on this earth. That there are 144,000, and you hear them talk about the 144,000 is already gone. And then they say some of the 144,000 has already come back, and they're lining up people that's going to be here on earth. Wow, how far-fetched that is. How far-fetched it is. There is one called Wicca, you might call it. This is a growing thing. This is witchcraft. It originated from witchcraft, but it's a religious group of people. You know, much like, and I'll tell you another thing that's real plain to you, that you know real plain, is like Heaven's Gate. How many of you know about Heaven's Gate? Okay, Heaven's Gate, about 20-some years ago, Heaven's Gate. And boy, when you read about that, that is something when you read about them. About 20-some years ago, you heard about it. They were, I forget the comet Bop was coming, and behind that was going to be a UFO. And they had thought this, and they were into that kind of stuff. And they thought to get to heaven, to their next level, they called it, to get their next level, which was going to get them to heaven, they then would have to commit suicide, and their souls then would attach to the UFO. And that would take them to the next level. That'd take them to heaven. How absurd is it? Now, you know, I mean, you might be sitting there thinking, well, boy, all that's silly. But, you know, people are serious about that. people who think they're going to be reincarnated, they're serious about that. That man and the woman that started the Heaven's Gate. Now listen, did you know that Heaven's Gate's still going? They are still recruiting people into Heaven's Gate. Pay no attention to it. And all these others I mentioned also. All falsity. Wicca includes much diversity regarding its teaching, yet generally accepts reincarnation. It surprises me when I study all of these how that many of them believes in reincarnation. It just dumbfounds me. It also teaches there's no need for salvation, for many believe one can eventually become one with the god of the goddess. There is also an emphasis on the spirits of the dead still roaming the earth. Mormonism, and that's one of the, I guess you would call one of the main, but Mormonism is another. I respect a lot of people that I know that who is Mormons. They have good thoughts, and they are decent people. I'm not knocking them, but Mormon believes that most people will end up in one of three kingdoms. One of three kingdoms. It depends on how you live and what you've done. And it's interesting, you cannot go in their temple unless you are canonized, Mormonized. You cannot go into their temple. You have to have a pass to get into their temple. Now, you can go into their, I'm going to call them churches. They call them something else. You can go there. But you can't go into the temple, because in the temple, they teach you things that you can't tell others about. Isn't that odd? They teach you things about being God or God, or getting to be like God, being to be a God, when the scripture tells us we are to tell people about God and how to have a right relationship with God, so that one day we'll spend eternity with God. But they go in their temple and they teach things that you can't tell others. If you tell something, if they find out you told something they told you in the temple, you're out. You're out. Something, isn't it? Something, isn't it? Well, I could go on and on. There's only hundreds of those. But that's enough, isn't it, to teach us that, those people that have different ways. And Peter says, and Jesus says, I am the only way. By the cross. If we don't come by the cross, we're not going to get there. Well, to close up here, here's some thought. You know, during the time of God's people traveling through the wilderness, if you remember, they made the tabernacle. God gave specific directions to Moses to build this tabernacle. What was the tabernacle for? It was for God to dwell in place, wasn't it? That's where God would dwell with his people. Then after that become the temple. What they did there at the tabernacle, though, let me say this, is that they brought sacrifices. They worshiped there. They come. They thought God to be there. He was in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. And so people would bring their sacrifices, sacrifice animals, shed the blood, and that would roll back their sins, really. They were looking for a Messiah to come. But this was to roll back their sins until the Messiah come. Now the temple then took the place of the tabernacle. And that still was what? It was a place to worship. They brought their sacrifices and so forth and worship. They thought God dwelt there and so forth. And so that was a place they had come to relieve them of the guilt of their sin, and to believe, and which was true belief, because the belief was true, that they could make sacrifices, worship God and so forth. That's what they were demanded to do. And that one day the Messiah was going to come. Now, neither the tabernacle nor the temple was meant to be permanent. Those weren't to be permanent things. It wasn't meant that man would always kill a sacrifice, offer to God, roll back his sins. They weren't permanent. That wasn't a permanent solution to their sins. Now see, their sins wasn't done away with, their sins wasn't forgiven, but that's the way they dealt with their sins in that day. God had set forth that, and so if you had been in that group, you would have went to the tabernacle, or you would have went to the temple, and you would have took your sacrifice, and you were conscious of your shortcomings, of your sins, and so you come and you say, God, I've sacrificed this, and so forth, and I know that you're relieving me of my sin now, putting that away from me, but future, someone's going to pay for that. So it wasn't a permanent thing. Now the Bible teaches the only way man's sins could be dealt with was for the Son of God to come, live among men, teach about God's love for mankind, the plan he has for man, and how man could have the right relationship with the Father. That's what Jesus did. He came and said, you're out of relationship with God. I've come to reinstate you, so to speak, or to make it possible, however you want to put it, to have a right relationship with God the Father. By receiving Jesus as the Messiah, as the promised Messiah, then our sins are taken away. He's our sacrifice. He died on Calvary's cross. He paid our price in full. And we have no other way except by the cross, through the cross, by Jesus Christ, to make it into God's great heaven. That is what the Bible teaches very well. So the truth is, regardless of all these that I've mentioned and many more, and you can come into some of the mainline religions and get some of the things, all you have to do is go to the Bible and open up your Bible and look what God says about it, and then lay it down beside what anybody else tells you or somebody else believes, the Wicca, the Islam, or whatever. Lay that down beside theirs and see which fits what God says and what Jesus says. Then you have not only hope, but you have, as what Paul says, the assurance of salvation, the assurance of reaching God's great heaven. So you might think about a few things that Jesus said. I can't tell you something different, because I don't know anything different than what God says. And it'd be foolish for me to try to explain to you something that what God has not got in his word and what Jesus taught his disciples. Jesus did come because God loved you, loved me, loved mankind, had a plan for them, if they would listen to him. So Jesus came, taught his disciples that plan. Jesus came, went to the cross, died for your sins, went to the grave, rose for your victory and the hope of eternal life. And Jesus taught his disciples the plan of salvation and the preparation for heaven. Except a person is saved, they have no hope of eternal life. Jesus taught that to his disciples very well and very plain. Matthew and Mark record Jesus' commission. You know it probably, some of you by heart, some of you that don't know it need to know it. And you just get into Matthew and Mark and read. Jesus commissioned his apostles to go into all the world and make disciples. Preach the gospel, teach them, make disciples out of them so that they'll teach others. That's what you and I are here for now. Someone has taught us about God's love for us, taught us the way to it we can get to heaven through Jesus Christ, through the cross, by the cross, through Jesus, we can get there. He taught that to the apostles. The apostles taught that and established churches, and we're one of those churches that has been established since the day of Pentecost down the line. And you have been taught what Jesus says, and now you are to teach others. That's God's plan to get mankind prepared for eternal life. Jesus in Mark 16:15-16 says very well, and you know it, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That means eternal hell. Plain as can be, isn't it? Plain as can be. Matthew puts it a little different way, but the same thing. Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So he said, "I've taught you, now you go tell others, and I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, and even to the end of the world." I told him. So there's a plan. And there's nothing new, nothing strange that I can tell you and wouldn't tell you. It's just very simple, isn't it? God loves you. God sent Jesus, his son, to be a sacrifice for our sins, and we have to receive him. One of the things I would say also to that, when we look at what Jesus says, we want to do it how he says. Not to be critical, but you see, because some people say, and this is arguing with Jesus. Jesus says for you to repent of your sins, believe in Christ, repent of your sins, be baptized, wash away your sins, receive the Holy Spirit when you become a new person in Christ. Now, some people want to say, "Well, now, Jesus, I know that's what you said, but here's what I want to do. I'll receive you, Jesus, in my heart. And because I had a hairdo yesterday, paid for this permanent and so forth, I don't want to get my hair wet. So I'll put off baptism until my hair gets all fizzed up. Some other date." Is that what Jesus said? No. Some people says, "Well, I got the Holy Spirit, then I come to realize Jesus was the Son of God. And then I believed in that, and I was baptized," and so forth. They put all, just turn around. But I'll say to you, if you will do what Jesus said, exactly the same way Jesus said, you can sleep comfortably. You can lay down at night. And if you don't wake up in the morning, you'll find yourself in heaven. That's a promise of God's word. So I guess as we end and close today, we've said a lot about heaven. The invitation is out. And you as a Christian should give the invitation to people around you, co-workers, schoolmates, whoever it might be. If you know what God said about salvation, about the hope of eternal life, you need to encourage other people to do that so that they will also. But if you want to just think about it, reincarnation, go back and join the Unitarians. But friends, that won't get you there. Only the cross. Jesus paid full. Our penalty was paid in full by Jesus. And Jesus is the only way we can get to heaven. Is Jesus your Savior? If not, you can make him your Savior today as we stand and sing.
We thank you for Jesus Christ and for salvation, Lord. And we thank you for your great plan. We ask you, Father, to stir up our hearts to speak with others that we love, to make sure, Lord, that we're all going to heaven, that we're all serving thee in thy will. We ask you,